It's the third Saturday in October time, and we're going to preview it all here on a Friday Locked On Vols. Game preview. What I think Tennessee will do well in this football game. Can Tennessee cover that ginormous spread? Plus, Roger Hoover, a Tennessee graduate, a Vol Network alum, and currently with the Crimson Tide Sports Network, he'll join the show. All that and more here on a Friday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, a good Friday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kaner, at Locked On Vols, and at Facebook at Kaner On Air. I'm a radio personality, the flagship station for the University of Tennessee. That's 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville. I also write for VolQuest.com. That's the rival site covering Tennessee football and recruiting. And today's episode of Locked On Vols is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family from the community come together, okay? A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Got a fun show coming up here today, but most importantly, want to dive into what this matchup truly is, okay? It's Tennessee against Alabama. It's the third Saturday of October. Tennessee is a 25-point road dog. Tennessee has injuries on the offensive line. Tennessee has injuries at quarterback. Tennessee has injuries at running back. It seems like a lot of things are stacking up against Tennessee. But again, I've been pounding my chest about this all week long, and a lot of it has to do with Hendon Hooker. I recognize that, but the thing about being underdogs now moving forward in this rebuild with Josh Heupel, and so hopefully you're not underdogs much often here in a couple years, as long as you have an offense that's explosive, as long as you have an offense that's capable of going down the field and scoring and hitting it with tempo, if you're hitting it that Saturday, you can make any game interesting. You really can. I'm not saying Tennessee's going to pull off the upset tomorrow. I'm not saying that. I'm not picking that. You know, you guys, yeah, a lot of you guys get on to me because you feel like I'm too hard on Tennessee oftentimes. But I mean, you know, it's Alabama, right? So I mean, I'd be a fool. I mean, I'd be a fool, you know, if I took Tennessee to win this football game right now. But Tennessee's offense is capable of making things interesting. Now, will it happen tomorrow? I don't know, because again, the injuries galore. Josh Heupel has been consistent all week long, saying Hendon Hooker is day to day. He got out on the practice field a little bit earlier in the week, and you know, we'll see it continuously as the week goes on, how much work he got, you know, by what time tomorrow, if he makes the trip. I'm still right now, I don't know if Hendon Hooker will play in this football game. I wouldn't expect it, but we will see. We know how Josh Heupel, even with sources that I talk to, I mean, Josh Heupel keeps injuries so close to the chest. So on fall calls on Wednesday night, Josh Heupel said the team is nearing a full stable of running backs. And, you know, as you get closer to Tuscaloosa, if not, will have a full stable, so that's an encouraging sign. Josh Heupel also said that Cooper Mays is close to being back and ready to roll. It says that Cade Mays is still day-to-day, but he might have an opportunity to play in this football game. So very open-ended. Okay, very open. It's gamesmanship. I get it. I mean, this is a theme with Josh Heupel throughout the season so far, and unfortunately, Tennessee's had a whole lot of injuries to deal with. So that's my biggest concern. We had the quarterback conversation earlier in the week. If Josh Heupel can't play Hendon Hooker, if Hendon Hooker can't go because of injury, who would you rather start? You guys know my stance. Even just that horrendous play to end the Ole Miss game, which is just horrible, I would still, if that's the case and Hooker can't go, I would still give the nod to Joe Milton, because I think he gives you the best chance to score points. I think he gives this offense the best chance to open up, because Milton, not as much as Hooker, but he is a run threat. He can run the football. Tennessee's offense really opened up in the second half against Ole Miss because Hendon Hooker ran the football. You also don't have to account for another blocker, okay? You're gaining a man in terms of run plays, if that makes sense, okay? Harrison Bailey just doesn't have that threat. Plus, on Twitter, and I don't have it in front of me, so I do apologize, but someone reached out to me on Twitter and said, hey, with the offensive line where it is right now, you need a quarterback with a little bit of escapability, and that's not Harrison Bailey. And I'm like, that's a really good point. So, and point blank, I just think that Joe Milton is better, leaps and bounds better than Harrison Bailey. So we will have to see what happens. My point is, I think Tennessee at least has a chance to go and run its offense in a good fashion with Joe Milton, because he's done it so far this year. And, of course, he was the starting quarterback to begin the year. But we'll have to see exactly what happens. But, you know, for Alabama, again, this is a 6-1 football team, a 3-1 team in the SEC. An upset loss at Kyle Field in College Station 2 weeks ago, 41-38, when Alabama battled back, but wasn't able to pull it off as A&M kicked the game-winning field goal to win that one. So wins against Miami, Mercer, at Florida, Southern Miss, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. A really nice beat down to Mississippi State coming off that loss 49-9 in typical Nick Saban fashion. When you lose a game, you better watch out next opponent because you are going to get it. This offense, it's first in the SEC, fourth in the nation with 45 points a game. Total offense, 482.6 yards. That's 12th in the nation, third in the SEC. A rushing offense, they run for 166 yards per game. Passing offense, 316 yards per game, 13th in the country, second in the SEC. You get 23.8 first downs a game. They're 55% on third downs. They're 7-9 on fourth down, 77%. They possess the football for 32 minutes and 10 seconds on average. They've only turned the ball over five times so far this year, three picks, two fumbles, and they've allowed 16 sacks all season long. Of course, Bryce Young, he is the leader, the next in line of the great Alabama quarterbacks, unfortunately, with, you know, it's gone from Tua, Mac Jones, of course, Jalen Hurts is an NFL starter nowadays. Now it's Bryce Young. 69% passing, over 2,000 yards already on the year, 24 touchdowns, three interceptions. He is probably, Matt Corral is probably the 1B to this, but Bryce Young's probably your leader in the Heisman voting right now. The running back, Brian Robinson, it's his backfield now after splitting a little bit of time in years past, but no Najee Harris anymore. 116 yards, 116 attempts, 599 yards, 8 touchdowns, averaging 99 rushing yards a game. He also has 2 receiving touchdowns. A trio of sophomore running backs in Jace McClennon, Roydell Williams, and Trey Sanders also get a little bit of run as well, with looks like McClellan is your receiving back out of the backfield. John Metchie is the wide receiver of note, of course. We know that name, 41 receptions, 480 yards, and 3 touchdowns. But it is Jamison Williams with 6 touchdowns who is the deep threat with 20 yards per reception. Alabama, as we heard yesterday's show with Luke Robinson, the crossover with Locked On Bama, a couple of tight ends that get a little bit of run. Cameron Latu and Jaleel Billingsley combined 7 touchdowns, with Latu having 5. This offense is capable. Is it as dominant as years past? Do you have the 3 to 4 wide receivers that are Heisman vote getters and first round picks? No, you don't right now, but it's still been a very efficient offense and one that's, you know, going to give not just Tennessee, but everybody trouble this year, of course. On defense, is this the most dominant defense that Nick Saban has had? No, it's not, but it is a solid defense. Gives up only 20 points per game, 300 yards of offense per game. That's 17th best in the country, second behind Georgia and the SEC. Really good against the run. Only 90 yards per game given up against the run. That's 8th in the country, second in the SEC. 210 through the air, gives up, averages 19 first downs, giving up a game, holding teams to 37% on third downs, 50% on fourth downs. Teams are possessing the football 27 minutes and 51 seconds on average against Alabama. It's created 12 takeaways, 10 interceptions, which is great, two fumble recoveries. It's got 19 sacks and 48 TFLs. Literally, I talked about it earlier in the week, it seems like all of their defensive backs at least have one interception. They play about 6. I think the leader back there, of course, is DeMarco Halems, the cornerback, 2 picks. You got Brian Branch, who's made headway. Josh Joby, an interception. Daniel Wright, Jalen Armour, Malachi Moore. Jordan Battle is the best one back there with 2 picks. At the linebacking corps, of course, we know about Henry Tuitu in the middle. Will Anderson off the edge might be one of the best defensive players in the country, if not the best defensive player in the country. Jordan Davis at Georgia might have something to say about that. Christian Harris is solid in the middle. You got Drew Sanders on the outside. Fedarian Mathis is really solid in the interior. LeBarian Ray is really good. DJ Drake, Byron Young are good. I mean, these are all names that we know about. Why? Because Alabama gets nationally televised games all the time, and so we've seen these guys play. Okay? What's really impressive to me is Alabama's very good against the run. Well, how did they do against Florida against the run? Of course, you know, Florida, one of the best running teams in the country, not so good. Florida ran for 245 yards against Alabama a couple weeks ago in that close loss, and it gave way to Mark Davis with 86 yards, Emory Jones with 77 yards, and Naquan Wright with 58 yards. So three guys really kind of tag team to really take down and give Alabama problems on the ground. What about Ole Miss? Ole Miss was one of the best running teams in the country. Again, we talked about it all last week. Alabama against Ole Miss, only 78 rushing yards total in that football game. That's really, really good. So it struggled against one of a really good running team in Florida. It was solid against another really good running team in Ole Miss. Let's say Tennessee. Will Cade Mays go? Is it going to be the lineup of Darnell Wright, Ollie Lane, Cooper, Jerome Carvin, Javonte Spraggins, and Dane Davis this week? That's pretty much the offensive line that played last week with no Cooper Mays, no Cade Mays, and Jerome Carvin playing center. What's that offensive line going to look like? Can Tennessee run the football? Will Tyon Evans be available? Jabari Small should be good to go, but will Tyon Evans be available? These are questions I don't know right here on a Friday. Right now, I might find out as I make my way down to Tuscaloosa. So we will have to see. This is a solid defense for Alabama. Last week against Mississippi State, negative 1 yard rushing for the Bulldogs. Of course, 7 sacks help with that as well, but still, that's pretty solid. Alabama's a good football team. I'm not breaking any news here. For Tennessee, if you're less than 100%, if I'm Josh Heupel, I'm not playing you. I'm not giving up. I'm going there to call a football game. I'm going there to win a football game. That's Josh Heupel's mindset. But if I'm a Hendon Hooker, Cade Mays, Tyon Evans, Cooper Mays, I'm not 100%, I'm not playing. And I'm resting off week next week and then Kentucky on the road at Kroger Field when you should go up there and get a victory in a very big swing game for your program. So we'll have to see. It'll be interesting, but it's the third Saturday in October. Will this rivalry be slanted one side continuously for many, many years to come? I don't think so. But this Saturday might be a lot of the same. Hopefully it won't be in blowout fashion like each of the last 5 years, because there in the early 2010s, there were some good games against Tennessee and Alabama. We will have to see, but certainly Tennessee, as we record this podcast, a 25-point underdog. I think Tennessee will cover that. Roger Hoover's coming up next here on Locked On Vols. But before we get to Roger, I want to remind you guys about McDonald's. Of course, this episode is brought to you by McDonald's. Proudly serving communities since 1965, McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family come together to connect. Okay, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, the away team can all come for a recharge. It's a place you always look forward to stopping by on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. Listen, a couple years ago, 2 summers, I spent in the Tri-Cities calling minor league baseball for the Kingsport Mets, RIP, now the Kingsport Axemen. And we'll have a little bit of that with Roger Hoover coming up, actually. But nonetheless, those are late nights, okay? Calling games start at 7. Rookie league, they take forever because no one can pitch. Getting out of there at about noon after I do all my post-game work, or midnight, got to go and recharge and get ready for the next game. And I like to do a lot of work here in the middle of the night. So I would go to McDonald's a lot of the time, use that Wi-Fi, get me a Southern Sweet Tea, and I would just pound out some work there until 2 a.m. Maybe I'm crazy, but hey, I had a great environment thanks to McDonald's up there in Kingsport on Stone Drive. Shout out. Listen, McDonald's is fantastic. All right. If you need to go and reconnect, McDonald's is the place for you. And maybe we'll have a little Locked On Vols party there sometime. Who knows? It's McDonald's. Anything you can want, endless possibilities. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Want to welcome onto the show Roger Hoover, who is a part of the Crimson Tide Sports Network, does a lot of play-by-play work for them and also a lot of studio hosting. He is a Tennessee grad, an East Tennessee native. Roger, how you doing today, man?
Eric, it's great to talk with you and say hello to all the friends back that I have in East Tennessee. Hope everything's going well in Big Orange Country.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's a rough loss last weekend to Ole Miss, of course, overshadowed by some incidences there from the stands in the fourth quarter, but we won't talk about that right now. Want to talk about Alabama, of course, and I mean, the way you look at it, of course, Alabama has a loss on the season, but it's a typical Nick Saban coach club. It's got a strong defense, really good against the run. The offense continues to reload, and another Heisman hopeful there at quarterback and Bryce Young. And so, kind of, how's this season been so far for those of you involved in the program and, of course, covering the program?
Well, I think you look back to last year was such a special season, undefeated season, only the second time that's happened in the Saban era. You get national championship number 6, and you lose a lot of those great players to the NFL draft. And this is a program that really is built on reloading, and I think it does a remarkable job doing that year in and year out. So we knew it would be time to reload once again for this season, and the season really couldn't have gone off to a better start than what we saw in the first game against Miami as Alabama jumps out to a huge lead. But I think in that ball ball game, we saw that maintaining Alabama's style of play for 6 minutes was really hard for this group. And that showed up the next week against Mercer. It showed up in the Florida game. You get up 21-3, and you only end up winning that game 31-29. So I think this is a group that, you know, really it almost took a loss to Texas A&M for them to fully understand what Coach Saban, what some of the veteran players were talking about, maintaining that Alabama standard for 60 minutes. And, you know, the great thing for the Crimson Tide, you after the loss to Texas A&M, where Alabama still had a very good chance of winning that ball game, you come back against Mississippi State and you completely shut down Mike Leach's air raid offense, holding them to 3 field goals, and the offense played really well all throughout the ball game. So I think Alabama is just now starting to kind of round into shape, and we've seen this before with some Coach Saban-led teams where it takes a lot sometimes to have that necessary wake-up call to get everybody back on the same page, and that's what it seems like this group is doing a really good job of right now. And they still have all of their goals in front of them, still have a very good path to the SEC West and then the SEC Championship game, and if you're successful there, to the college football playoff where this program wants to be. So it's been an interesting year because I think we still are seeing a lot of talent from this Crimson Tide team, but maintaining that focus and intensity has been the key struggle for this group to this point. But they're starting to round into shape a little bit.
Yeah, it's something that I feel like when we think of Alabama, it's typically all undefeated season all the time, win national championships. But I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think the majority of the national championships that have come under Saban have been obviously with one-loss teams. You know, as you pointed out earlier, not many times he's, you know, run the table and won it all. But I just, you know, kind of found that interesting. How good of a team are you to lose and then rebound quickly and then run the table from there? I want to ask your input on, obviously, the quarterback, Bryce Young. You know, for a lot of these are just silly questions. What does Alabama do well here? You know, what makes this player tick here? Because Alabama is Alabama. But, you know, for this first-year starting quarterback, obviously the numbers are very impressive, very much entrenched in the Heisman Trophy race. As far as growth and development, what have you seen from Young so far this season?
Well, Bryce is really good at maintaining the pocket. You know, if he's able to stay in the pocket, he does a really good job. And I think he does a really nice job as well moving the pocket around. You know, he always has great footwork. And his arm is just so laser focused. I think he's got the strongest arm and maybe most accurate arm of any of the recent Alabama quarterbacks we've seen. If you look at, you know, 3 NFL starting quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, and Mac Jones, Bryce throws just a sharp line drive every time he throws. I think Mac was really good at throwing the deep ball. Tua was pretty accurate, just like Bryce Young, but just the velocity of his throws are incredible. So with that, he is able to be a little more creative than maybe what we've seen from Tua or Mac, you know, moving around and kind of finding that perfect place to stand to deliver a quick strike downfield. Just his speed makes up for a lot of different things, and he's just a smart decision maker. He's only had a couple of interceptions, a couple of them weren't his fault, and he's just maintained his poise really well. Even when things were not going well against Texas A&M, you still felt like that he was in control. Same could be said for the Florida game. Just he always plays with such poise, and I think he's stepping up more as a leader. That was really his focus all throughout the offseason, was stepping up on the leadership role, and I think that says a lot for a sophomore who had never started a game before the Miami game. You know, he recognized what Mac Jones was able to do last year leading this football team, and he said, you know what, it doesn't matter that I haven't been around here very long. He's like, if I'm going to be the starting quarterback at Alabama, I've got to lead. And we've heard that he's doing that, especially in the aftermath of the loss to Texas A&M. He was one of the key guys that was stepping up and making sure everybody on the offense was on the same page. So I think he's really done a nice job stepping into a very tough role, which is being the starting quarterback at Alabama. And again, he's got physical tools like crazy. Now, he reminds you of a Justin Fields or a Kyler Murray with the way he's able to play and get creative, and that's why there continues to be a lot of Heisman talk for Bryce Young.
Of course, the defense, you know, Nick Saban is a defensive coach, so no surprise it's one of the best in the country yet again, second in the SEC in total defense and you know, pretty much everything else behind Georgia at least. But I love watching the linebacker play, of course, very familiar with Henry Tuilotuilo. I want to get your thoughts on how you think he's performed so far this season, but not just Henry T playing at the mic. You got Anderson, you got Harris. I love that group in the middle, watching them go to work. But also, that secondary, on paper, looks like Alabama plays about 6-7 guys, and it feels like all of those guys have at least one interception on the year. Looks like a very aggressive Alabama defense, as usual.
Yeah, and they're extremely well coached, because even though Alabama does have a secondary coach, in reality, the secondary coach is Nick Saban. I mean, that's where he spends all of his time, on the practice field, working with those guys. That he loves that challenge. And it's a secondary that's really having to step up. I think losing Patrick Surtain to the NFL was a big blow for this group. But they play well when they've had a game where they know they're going up against a high-powered offense. I mentioned they shut down the air raid last week against Mississippi State. And those guys really stepped up to the challenge of playing Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebel offense extremely well, as Alabama jumped out to a 35-0 lead in that ball game. And then the one loss, the secondary got unorganized because Malachi Moore, who's really the signal caller for that secondary group, one of the star safeties, you know, he gets ejected the very first series for targeting, and it was jarring to that defense, and they really weren't on the same page the rest of the night. The linebacking core, as you mentioned, Henry To'oto, he has done a really good job. A little sick in the Florida game, so the consistency of performance wasn't there for that ball game. And also, just he and Christian Harris had a tough time playing consistently all throughout the Texas A&M game, and that could have been a byproduct as well of just some different looks that Texas A&M was giving, plus not having Malachi to get everything organized from the back. But when this group is fired up, focused, prepared, and really locked in on what they have to do, they've been playing extremely well so far this season, playing with a lot of physicality. I love the defensive line that Alabama has, especially with Darian Mathis getting in the backfield a lot. And then you mentioned as well, Will Anderson Jr. is, to me, one of the best players in college football. I think he probably defensively has to be in that conversation with Jordan Davis of Georgia as the best defensive player in all of college football. With the way he's able to get in the backfield with such speed, he has such long wingspan, he's disruptive in the passing game, rushing game, you name it. He is just a physical force. And I mentioned Bryce is a huge leader as a sophomore. Will Anderson Jr. is the same way. I mean, this is a guy that called his teammates out after the Florida game and said, we got to do better. Football has to be the most important thing. A couple weeks later, you lose to Texas A&M, and he's saying the same message again. And then when he was asked about, you know, you kind of said the same thing after the Florida game. Do you think your teammates listened? He said, no, they didn't listen at all. We've got to get focused. We've got to make sure that football is the number one priority. And they certainly lived that out last Saturday against Mississippi State. Now we got to see if it translates into these games coming up against Tennessee and LSU. But Will Anderson Jr. on that defense is the guy. He is the alpha dog that is leading the charge. And Alabama is going to be a very dangerous team on defense as long as number 31's on the field.
All right, Roger, one last thing. I know you're very familiar with Tennessee's team, Tennessee's situation. You're following along with Josh Heupel, and you're number one. I always say, I don't care how much of an underdog you are, if you can score a point, you have a chance to make it interesting, right? So for Tennessee to be in this ball game, for Tennessee to hang around the fourth quarter and make something of it, I know Tennessee's got some injury concerns at quarterback and running back and your best offensive lineman. It's pretty bad timing for that right now. But for the Volunteers to make things interesting beyond just, you know, scoring points, you know, what does Tennessee need to do to make this a ball game?
Well, I think scoring points is, of course, a huge part of it. I think running the football. Tennessee can run the football. I don't know, the injuries to Hendon Hooker or Tyon Evans kind of maybe change that a little bit. But if Tennessee is able to just keep Alabama's offense off the field, I mean, that would be huge. I think Texas A&M was a great example of that. Isaiah Spiller, the running back for the Aggies, had such a good game. Zach Calzada had a great Texas A&M, you know, maintaining some drives, even if it ended in a field goal for A&M, you know, a few of them ended in touchdowns, of course, but just keeping that Alabama offense off the field is huge. So you have to play the clock. You have to try and keep this game in the low 30s or 20s. And that's extremely hard to do against Alabama's offense. And that's part of it as well. The defense is so good, gets a lot of three and outs. But Tennessee just can't afford to have three and outs. They've got to find a way to just move the football a little bit. And I've been really impressed from afar watching what Josh Heupel's been able to do with this offense. You know, I thought with the numbers of players that were leaving Tennessee to go in the transfer portal, you look how thin in terms of the roster is. I wasn't sure that he'd be able to implement his system as well to do, especially against Missouri and South Carolina. I mean, Tennessee offensively has looked as good as they have maybe since the Kiffin era. I mean, that's how good this offense looks, and it's not even close to what Josh Heupel wants in terms of his roster just yet. So I'm pretty impressed by that. But to answer your question, yeah, you got to run the football. You got to maintain the clock a little bit. You got to be able to convert in the red zone. You got to be able to score touchdowns instead of field goals. That's where a lot of teams have struggled against Alabama. And then just defensively, just, you know, kind of buckle up and try to pick your poison, whether it's Bryce Young throwing the football. We could see another great performance by Brian Robinson Jr. running the football. He had 4 touchdowns against Ole Miss when everyone thought that would be the Bryce Young show. It was mostly the Brian Robinson Jr. show with the way he was running the football. So Tennessee can compete with this Alabama team if they can do what's led to success early in SEC play for the Vols.
Roger Hoover, a part of the Crimson Tide Sports Network, play-by-play man and an East Tennessee native, a graduate from the University of Tennessee and former Kingsport Mets play-by-play bro. I had to throw that one in there because, you know, it's part of the family.
I thought you were going to throw in my Carson Newman days. Come on, Eric.
Well, Carson Newman, of course. Yeah, you were there when I played. So, but yeah,
Go Eagles.
Sitting in the same booth, you know, that you were in there probably a decade before me, but that was pretty neat as well. So I appreciate you, man, for catching up with me, and I'm sure I'll see you down there.
Sounds good, Eric. You're the best. Thank you for having me on. We'll see you.
A big thanks to Roger Hoover for joining us here on the show. We got one final segment left to preview this matchup before we send you to the weekend. But before we get into that, guys, back and better than ever, a new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, to baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, it's the fastest, it's the easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports action, okay? Plus, your pop culture life as well with reality television. All that and a whole lot more. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. And, you know, Built Bar, if you haven't tried Built Bar by now, you're really missing out, okay? They say it's a protein bar, but it does not taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars yourself to truly believe it. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to choke down. But a Built Bar, it's soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, really, and one that you're going to enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low in calories, low in carbs, low in fat, low in sugar, but high in protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of just being really delicious. So many flavors. Another great thing about Built Bar, so many mouth-watering flavors like coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, and cherry. Okay, this month, Built Bar is coming out with a new limited-time flavor every 3 to 4 days. So check the website often because you don't want to miss out. That website, it is BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, guys, we got a final segment left here on a Friday Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for joining me here today. Austin Price, VolQuest.com, is going to stop by, give us his thoughts on Tennessee heading into the Alabama game and a little bit on recruiting. But I want to go ahead and pull the curtain back a little bit, let you guys know kind of behind the scenes. As many of you know, I do a Rivalry Thursday broadcast, high school football here in Knoxville on Thursday night. So, you know, from about 4:35 on through about 11 o'clock, I am busy at the football field, in the truck, doing some stuff. So on Thursdays for the Friday show, I try to tape some interviews. I try to pre-record earlier in the day on Thursday in order to lighten the load for whenever I get back home late Thursday night. And so as things go on throughout the day, and I've said this throughout the podcast this week, recruiting is fluid. Injuries are fluid. You learn more information as you go. And that's kind of been the case here on a Thursday. I've learned some more information and people that I've spoken to, and you're going to hear it here in a moment from Austin Price as well. But in some conversations that I've held with some people, you know, on campus around the team and all that, it looks like Hendon Hooker, there's not been, you know, much limitation from when he started practice on Tuesday. I'm not saying that Hendon Hooker is going to start this football game. That's not what I'm saying. I still would not play him, but I'm not a football coach. But it looks like he's been consistently at practice and that the injury scare is really just a minor, a minor blimp in the radar, if so. I mean, it looking like it's just a bruise on the knee. And so, you know, will Josh Heupel play Hendon Hooker? I still don't know, But I feel more, at the time of this recording now, late on a Thursday afternoon, I feel more confident about Hendon Hooker's status right now than I have all week long. Now, they will practice on Friday. Again, you're going to test it out in pregame and all that type of stuff. So Hendon Hooker's not out of the woods by any means, and I'm not saying he's going to start. I'm not saying he's going to play. But I think the progression for Hendon Hooker as the week's gone on has gotten more positive, more positive, more positive, and more positive as we have gone throughout the week. So just something to consider. If you see five running out there playing against Alabama, now I don't want you to be shocked, because I think that's more of a possibility now than it has been all week. So we will see if it happens. But again, Austin Price touches on it here in just a moment when I caught up with him earlier to record a little hit. And of course, I think the Friday and pregame on Saturday will tell a lot about Hendon Hooker. And if it's not Hendon Hooker, then it'll likely be Joe Milton and maybe even Samarison Bailey. We'll have to see. But nonetheless, Tennessee at Alabama, that's coming up here just a day away now. And we're going to chat that with Austin Price right now and a little bit on Tennessee recruiting. Here's Austin Price. As the week has gone on, things obviously change, but there's not been any downgrading in the status of quarterback Hendon Hooker. It looks like it's just going to be a knee contusion. Do you expect Hendon Hooker to play on Saturday?
At this point, Eric, yeah, I do. I just feel like that, you know, he's done more work throughout the week. He's been braced up at practice. And, again, there are no, you know, there's no ligament damage. And so I just think ultimately, you know, if they can play him, they're going to play him. And I think that, you know, he'll be able to go Saturday.
Obviously, Josh Heupel will make these calls, but you look at the injury situation across the board. Tyon Evans, very questionable. You know, Cooper Mays has been kind of ready to go the last couple of weeks. Cade Mays kind of day-to-day right now. And you got this game against Alabama. Josh Heupel is never going to just fold. But some things to consider with the off week coming up, plus Kentucky right after that.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of decisions to make that could alter the next month of the season. You know, if Tyon plays, re-aggravates the ankle, Cooper plays, re-aggravates the ankle. That's why I think Hooker will play, because, you know, it's not an ankle. It's not a, you know, knee sprain or ligament tear or anything like that. It's just a massive, massive bone bruise. And so they'll try to protect it the best they can with the brace, and I think he'll play. And you know, if it were to get out of hand and Tennessee's down 28 points, then I think Tennessee would make a quarterback change, because there's no point for him to take any shots on it at that point. But at least to start the game, I think Hendon Hooker plays. But the rest of those guys we're talking about, Cooper, Cade, Tyon, they all have those kind of, you know, tweaky injuries that, you know, you could easily re-aggravate, much like Cooper did when he came back from the sprained ankle a little bit too early at Florida and then re-aggravated it. You know, that's up to the medical team. That's going to be something that Tennessee's got to figure out. What's worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze to potentially re-injure and set back Cooper Mays or Tyon Evans? You know, when, you know, the likelihood is if they don't play this week, they're back full go for Kentucky.
You know, there's been some chatter in recent weeks, and it was kind of confirmed last night with Josh Heupel, but it looks like Ka'Ron Calvert, a guy that Tennessee was really counting on to begin this season to add some flexibility on the offensive line, tackle, guard, open things up for Cade Mays. Tennessee might have a chance to get him back at some point this year. He's been out of practice. How big would that be to get him back at some point this season?
Well, it would be big, especially for this last month of the year. It would give Tennessee options, you know, get Cade healthy, and then do you play Cade inside where he's a little bit, you know, more strong? You know, Cade can play anything, but he's particularly special at guard. I think that's a real possibility. And again, though, how quick can Ka'Ron get himself into playing shape? He ain't played. So, I mean, like, the thought, and I know he's an offensive lineman. It's not like he's out there, you know, running a bunch. But at the pace they go, that could be something that would hinder him. But if he can give you 2 to 3 series a game to help spell a guy like Cade Mays or to, you know, spell another lineman, I think that's big. I really do.
Tennessee hosted a lot of recruits last Saturday for the Ole Miss game, and, you know, the question that we get asked a lot is, you know, commitment watch. What's the latest in Tennessee in trying to track some of those guys, and if there was somebody to watch here that might can make a call here soon, who might that be?
Well, I don't know if there is anybody that's just super close to making a decision. You know, you got 8 weeks till signing day. Most people that have made it this far are going to likely, you know, take it the distance and have their little ceremony at their school or take some visits in November and early December. So I'm not sure anybody's super close. Jordan Thomas would probably be the closest. I mean, he indicated to me that he wanted to get through his senior season, when does that end? I mean, does it end in first week of November, second week of November, first week of December? You know, but it clearly Tennessee's made a move there. But Tennessee's made a move with a couple of those DBs. I think Tennessee's continued to trend well with Cody Jones, who I think will visit here in November. And then, but again, like I just don't think anybody's super, super close. Christian Harrison decommitted from Liberty, but I think he's going to take the long-term approach and see who else comes to the table here. And I think Tennessee's clearly right now the team that stands out to him the most, but I'm not sure he's ready just to dive right in.
A team Tennessee's been close a prospect Tennessee's been close with here lately, Caleb Webb, was on campus last week. Caleb Herring, one of the top players in the 2023 class, brother of Elijah Herring. He's been on campus a lot here lately. And, of course, Walter Nolan was in-house. A really neat experience for Walter. Said that everything that he was looking for, he saw and liked the environment. Loved the student section chanting his name. But, I mean, it's going to be an A&M Tennessee battle here on out, and I don't think that we're going to know until he, you know, faxes over those papers.
No, there's going to be lots of twists and turns. You know, could end up back in College Station this weekend. He'll be back here for the Georgia game in November. You know, where else does he go between now and then? We'll see. But, I don't think he's going to do anything. I'd be shocked if he does anything before, you know, late November, early December. And if at that point, you know, does he just not wait till signing day?
And that'll do it here for a Friday edition of Locked On Vols. The third Saturday in October, well, that's tomorrow. And hope you guys have a blast. If you're going to the game, be safe. If you're staying at home watching, listening on the radio, I hope you have a lot to cheer for. And you know we're going to recap it all with a Locked On Now following that game and a Monday show here on Locked On Vols. Thanks for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Locked On SEC, how about making it your second listen with host Chris Gordy? 5 days a week, Locked On SEC with all the SEC news that you could possibly need. Guys, thank you so much for another great week here of Locked On Vols. Can't wait to do it again next week when we recap this one and talk about the midseason as Tennessee will be officially in the bye week. Y'all stay safe. Enjoy your weekend.